Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome, everyone, to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called Circus of the Dead. It's directed by Billy Bloody Bill Pond. That's a fun name to say. Just there's a lot of bounce to that, Corey.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. I want a cool nickname like that.
I know. Shit. Written by Lee Ankrum and Billy Bloody Bill Pond. Love it.
You know what that reminds me of?
What's that?
You ever watch Righteous Gemstones?
No, not yet.
Oh, my God.
I have a show now that I can actually hop on and watch because I just finished How I Met Your Mother, and I already finished the few episodes that dropped for Cobra Kai, so I'm like, well, what's next, you know? All right, I'm going to go back into it now.
Baby Billy's Bible Bonkers.
Oh, my God.
It's from that show. Just reminded me of that.
So many B words. Starring Bill Oberts Jr. as Popcorn, Ryan Clapp as Noodle Dome the Clown, Rusty Edwards as Mr. Blister the Clown, Mike Williams as Jumbo the Clown, and Parrish Randall as Donald Johnson. Plot of this movie is a sadistic group of clowns kidnap an unsuspecting man and his daughters, forcing him to play a deadly game in order to save his family. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I gotta do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil. And dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you got to look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out. Support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Circus of the Dead?
This was so unhinged and uncomfortable, and that is an amazing thing. This one definitely gave me that feeling that I love in horror movies, which I've said several times throughout this podcast. It came out in 2014, so it took us a while to watch it, but I've been hearing a lot about the sequel, which is set to begin filming soon, so I figured we'd get caught up, and I was not disappointed.
That's a good point. Might as well get caught up, get ready, because they're doing the whole crowdfunding thing at the moment. So maybe it will get put out soon enough, and then we can review that one. And we can bring some more exposure to Circus of the Dead Part 2. So this is our way of giving back and, you know, talking to our dozens of fans who...
I like how you laughed like that was a true fact.
It is. No, it's not. I think we have more. I think we have more than that. So this is our way of doing our little part and bringing some exposure to Circus of the Dead, because this movie was completely unhinged. Like you said, it's bonkers all the way through. Some of the stuff in this movie, you just watch it and go, what the fuck? There are scenes that reminded me of my favorite movie, and I'm using so much sarcasm on that right there, Headless. Fucking Headless.
Yeah, so fucking Headless, literally.
Fucking Headless, literally.
We'll get to that, but I knew for a fact that you were clenching your cheeks when those scenes happened.
A little bit. Yeah, there were some scenes where I was like, oh man, that's fucking rough. Definitely the head fucking scene, that's for sure, because those are always something else. But this movie is for basically sadists, basically for Corey. So it's crazy. It's just pure chaos. Overall, there's not a ginormous story to it. Like, there's not like a real big, oh shit type thing to this story. It's really just a bunch of clowns that go town to town. They kidnap people. They use them for their shtick or whatever. And they cause all sorts of fucking shit. They cause a ruckus, you know, and they're being ridiculous. And when I say ridiculous, I mean they're just going on a killing spree. And then they're basically blaming on the people that they kidnap who are doing the game. So that's the whole gist of this. You think, though, that if it kept happening from different town to different town, that all these towns would pick up on the fact that, like, I don't think that person did that. I think we've got something else going on here, like the circus. But these clowns were completely sadistic. When I was watching it, I got a lot of feeling of watching a Rob Zombie movie. Like, the main clown, Popcorn, I was looking at him, and the way that he acted and the way his makeup was, he reminded me a lot of Doomhead from 31. Obviously, Corey, you didn't see that, but it's the guy from Barbarian, the guy that was kidnapping people and making babies of babies.
Yeah, Richard Brake.
Yeah, Richard Brake. So he was Doomhead in 31, and he stole the show in that fucking movie. So I got a lot of that from Popcorn. So I'm wondering if maybe Doomhead is a kind of a, not a reference, but what's the word I want to use?
An influence?
Kind of an, thank you. Yes, an influence to Doomhead. So I don't know, because I know that later on, Bill Oberst is actually in Three from Hell. So you got to wonder, did Zombie check this movie out and then maybe had some references in 31 to it?
Well, I don't think so.
And you don't think so? Okay.
No, the reason being is Circus of the Dead came out first.
Oh, that's kind of what I'm getting at, is that Circus of the Dead came out first. So were they an influence to 31?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, I might have worded it weird. Yeah, so I might have worded it a little weird. So maybe it was like, you know, a twinkle in Rob Zombie's eye to put out, and then maybe he got some influence from this, because there's a lot of similarities to this. So obviously the whole clown aspect.
Richard Brake is such an underrated actor.
He's
too.
So fucking good.
Dude,
he's
know he got
so
cast
good.
In, I believe it's the Pinocchio movie.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. So you're talking the Pinocchio movie as in like the horror one that's coming out, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I figured much. That's a big get right there. I mean, that guy's been in so many fucking awesome movies. Barbarian, hands down, amazing. Probably one of my favorite horror movies in the last decade.
So Richard Brake is playing Geppetto in Pinocchio Unstrung. And Robert Englund was also cast in it. I don't know what he's going to be, though.
He's going to be Pinocchio.
No, isn't Pinocchio like CGI? We've already seen it.
Yeah, I think he's like CGI. I don't know. Maybe he's the whale that like swallows up Pinocchio. I don't know. I haven't seen the Disney Pinocchio in fucking ages, man. So
I love in the beginning of this movie, the opening is what kind of sets the tone for the whole movie, because it's just clowns putting on their makeup and there's a dead woman in the middle of all of it.
It's so fucking twisted. It starts off with a bang. They just roll up. We find a tarot card on the ground and they're like, oh, the clowns play this game, whatever. And I don't fully remember what the whole idea of the tarot cards was. I think it's just like their way of choosing what they're going to do next for a game.
Maybe, yeah.
But yeah, so they're in their trailer, which, by the way, looks fucking ginormous. It looks like they're in like a literal fucking house. It's so big. I don't know how that's considered a trailer, but anyways, start off with a bang. The clowns are in the fucking trailer. They're getting ready, all this stuff. Popcorn is putting his makeup on. They take a person that's in a closet, still very much alive. They take him and they strap him down and they start cutting off his hand with a sawzall.
So this part made me laugh because they made a comment about his watch.
Yeah.
They were like, nice watch. And then they just cut his hand off so they could have his watch. But at least they cauterized it. That was nice of them.
I know. That is nice of them, because they're like, you know, he's going to bleed out, so we might as well do something about this. And the way that they cauterized him was like ridiculous, man, because it was a blowtorch. It's not like they put him on like some sort of hot surface and just mashed his hand down or whatever. No, they straight out just like took a blowtorch to his fucking stump and just went to town. And hey, it did the trick. But here's the funny thing. They sewed it back. And for like part of the show, I guess.
Yeah,
they just sewed it back on.
I laughed when no one in the audience realized that that guy was covered in blood and his hand was literally duct taped to his body.
I was wondering that the whole time. You would think the audience would be like, well, that seems a little sus. Something's up here. That's some interesting entertainment there, because the clowns come out. They have a guy that's chained up. He's got blood on him. You would think they'd go, why does he got blood all over him? And they're just beating him with a baseball bat. His freaking hand is flopping around. And then they just bring him back. It's an interesting clown show.
Yeah, I was having a hard time figuring out if this audience knows what they're there to watch, or if they're just, you know, unsuspecting,
completely,
kind of,
utterly
you know?
Yeah, completely, utterly oblivious to what's happening.
It's like you and I just randomly decided to go to a circus and, you know, these clowns came out and just started beating the fuck out of this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what are we in for?
That's fun.
What did we come to?
I'd be like, all right, well, let's just try to not be part of the act. And Donald somehow ends up becoming part of the act because the clown looked over and saw his smoking hot wife. And he's like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to call this seat number and say that he's won a prize. And he gives him a prize and he comes back and he's like, oh, I need the address because for tax purposes. Little do we know that the clowns show up at the house. Donald's not there. The kids aren't there at the moment. That's important to say, at the moment. But that wife of his, that Jezebel, that two-time and hussy, that I want to keep going, but I
keep going. See how long you can make that go. Yeah,
oh,
we got all the time.
I wrote a few down that, okay, Jesus.
What do you want to say to Trooper Weaver?
Trooper Weaver? Oh, that son of a bitch, that home wrecker, that scoundrel. Don't fucking know. So yeah, she's fucking around. Cops there, and what the fuck, man? You already know what I'm about to talk about right now.
Yeah, I know. It's the best part.
In the window?
No, not the best part. But that was uncomfortable. That one, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it was a little uncomfortable. I was gonna laugh my ass off for a second if you were like, oh yeah, that's the best part. And I'm like,
no,
you know, clown jacking off in the window is the best part.
No, not that part. That no,
yeah.
I thought we were getting to the head part, but no. Popcorn's literally watching the cop and Donald's wife have sex, and he's just rubbing one out in the window as he's watching.
Yep, just licking the window,
and he's licking
all sorts
the window.
Of weird stuff.
Like, dude, Bill Oberst is so good.
He is fantastic in this movie. He's my favorite part about this movie.
Oh yeah, easily.
He's just so sadistic and so commanding in this role that it's hard to look away. You want to see what he's doing next. He pulls you in. He did this role very well. And yeah, he killed it, man. He could be like a really great horror character. And I know with the whole clown thing at the moment, it's going to be really hard to compete against Art the Clown because they're going to make similarities, right? They're going to go like compare the two of them. Completely different ball game, though. He is like what do I want to say? Like, he's more cerebral. Yes, that's what I want. He's more cerebral than Art the Clown. Art the Clown just goes and does whatever the fuck he wants and kills people and whatever. I mean, Popcorn does kill whoever the fuck he feels like. Kills and sexually assaults whoever. Doesn't even bother him. He's just like, whatever, I'm just going to do whatever I want. But people will say, oh yeah, he's a lot like Art the Clown. No. And it's too bad because I think this could be a fucking pretty prominent series for horror.
And I think once more people start finding out about it, you know, especially after listening to this episode with our thousands of listeners all over the world,
they'll know
about this movie. And like we said earlier, the sequel is being crowdfunded, but they've already smashed all their goals. So it's 100% happening.
Oh, it's fucking great.
But hopefully with the second movie, people start talking about Popcorn and the rest of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of buzz behind it. And I think us doing this is going to help to push that just even more. You know, we're doing our part. But so we get to the scene. The clowns are now in the house. They destroy the cop, like just completely obliterate him. His head is just hamburg meat at this point.
Yep.
Just,
that's good.
It's a bloody pulp of a fucking flesh and brain and blood, and that's it. And they start fucking with the wife. The throat cut to the wife, by the way, it was brutal looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the practical effects in this movie were something else. I believe the first one was crowdfunded too. I could be wrong. You know, I don't know how much money they had to make this, but whatever money they did have looked really good.
Yeah, I thought they did great I'm going to say the budget might have been $1 million, maybe a little more, because it looks like it could have been a budget of that amount. It looks really well. They had a lot of actors, a lot of scenes involved that involved like places, actual locations. And usually when it comes to like lower budget films, they fucking keep it all in like one place. They were at a store and all that shit. Yeah, they were all over the place. So they must have had some fucking money behind this thing. And good for them, because this movie's nuts. It's absolutely batshit crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kids come home and they see their mother gutted. The kids are trying to run away. And then next up, we see the dad come home. The wife's fucking head is cut off. And dude, this fucking scene is just brutal. Of course, they kidnapped the father as well. They were hiding there the whole time. I don't know if it was like maybe just a trap, just waiting for him to come back. And he was like the main person they wanted to get. And that, like, they saw the wife and they were just like, oh, okay. She's got a, you know, a dumb husband. We're going to mess with him instead.
I don't know, man, because the, like you said before, in the actual circus scene, Papa Corn spots her.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they were targeting her the whole time and then Donald was just a bonus prize.
Yeah. Do you think that he changed his mind once Donald came home? Because it almost seemed like he felt bad for him because of the wife cheating on him.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah.
Because when he went and showed up, he saw the wife fucking around with the cop and obviously did his whole little shtick there. But then they didn't fucking kill the husband. You would think they would have done that. That would be their thing. But no, he took him back, not injured, nothing like that. And was just saying to him, your wife was cheating on you. She fucking deserved it. And then here we go. He fucking pulls his pants down and got a little headless action right in front of the husband.
And he's, yeah, the fact that he's taunting her husband by fucking his wife's head.
Yes.
I don't know. That's again, uncomfortable. It's gut-wrenching. You can't even imagine the things that guy's feeling as this is happening.
What do you do? Like, oh my God, I would have probably tried to fucking rip out of the chair. Like, I would have had, like, the stupid strength, you know, that complete pure anger strength.
Yep. Yeah, you just rip the tape off and...
Yeah, just rip everything off and a fucking attack. I would probably get to that point. I'm a big talker now, but I feel like I could get to that point if I was in that situation. Because that would be extremely destroying to see your wife's head fucked in front of you. It's one thing if the floozy Jezebel hussy wife was cheating on you in front of you, very much alive. At least you could say something. You can't do shit. It's so fucked up. He just does his thing real quick and throws the head like it's nothing, saying she deserved it. She was cheating on you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's terrifying.
Yep. But then he realizes his daughters are kidnapped as well. So now he has to play this whole game with the clowns. And honestly, I didn't know what the fuck I was going to get into with this whole game. I was thinking that they were going to bring him and do the whole clown thing like the other guy. Like he would be the new act and the other guy would just get killed off. But instead, they were just having him, they had him dressed like a clown, but they brought him all over the place where they did their fucking lunacy. And man, the amount of bodies that they racked up in a span of like 20-something minutes was bonkers.
Oh, I know.
Absolutely bonkers.
One of my favorite scenes of this whole rampage was the convenience store.
Oh, that's your favorite?
Yeah, because the gun, with the gun in the mouth?
Well, yes, that's great. I was fully expecting the fucking, the baby ripped out of the lady's stomach and being like swung around.
Dude, and then Blister smashed it on the ground like a fucking tomato. And it made that noise too, of like a tomato exploding. I was like,
my jaw hit the ground when I saw that.
Like an infant smash.
Yeah,
like
infant
seconds
smasher.
Old.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, ripped out of the stomach and just smashed on the ground. I was speechless. And immediately I thought, Corey is fucking loving this right now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got my rocks off with this one.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you were doing your own little fucking window dance.
Yeah, this, I knew this is like, we both like these types of movies, but I know you take them a lot harder than I do.
Some of them,
like,
yeah.
Like, I laugh most of the time. You know, I'm not trying to sound, you know, tough or anything. I just...
No, you're a sadistic. You're a sadist.
Okay, well, if that's what you're going to call me, then I guess it is what it is. Fucking bravo, Bloody Billy.
Yeah, you pulled it off. You made Corey very happy.
Yeah, love this.
So, yeah, man, that convenience store scene, rough watch.
But yeah, and he was like, he has a gun in this cashier's mouth for, I swear that scene was like 15 minutes long.
Oh, it went on forever.
And he's just like talking shit the whole time as the gun's in the mouth.
Mm-hmm. And he's trying to get Donald to pull the trigger because that's part of the game. You got to play the game so you can see your daughters. And what do you do in this situation? You're going to have to kill all these people just so you can see your daughters? Like, there's no way that's going to sit well with you for the rest of your life. Oh, I had to kill fucking 15 innocent people to save you two. What happens when they act up one day and the father goes, you should be thanking me right now. I had to kill 15 people just to make sure you two were okay.
Yeah.
Fucking gaslighting them for the rest of their lives. They'll be in the mental ward in no time. So the insanity, there's so much sexual assault in this movie too. So,
oh my God,
this
yeah.
This is a hard watch for some people that don't like those scenes. I mean, I don't like those scenes. They're rough to watch.
I don't think anyone really likes them, but I think that's what the purpose is it makes you uncomfortable. Because unfortunately, sexual assault's a very real thing.
It is.
No one likes it. It's terrible.
It is.
But when you see it in a movie, and that was Popcorn's thing the whole time, like he specifically says it in this movie.
Yeah.
You know, he says, I assault women, and then I kill them.
Yeah, because it's hard to fucking live through that after it's happened. A lot of girls, they struggle for their entire life because of it. And one could say he's fucking saving them from that fucking misery. Either way, the whole situation's bad. He's awful. He's an awful human being for doing this shit. And he does it multiple times.
Yeah.
It's not, and one of them, I'm like, oh man, this is rough. Because that could be considered a teenager, the last one he did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, ugh. Not only are we talking sexual assault, now we're talking about being a diddler, if you think about it. So yeah, now we're talking this guy basically being a diddler. So, oh God, wrong place, wrong time for these kids. Because let me tell you, like, they get pulled over by the cops. The clowns are in the car. They're doing their thing, hanging out. They're like, oh, we're just blowing off some steam. Clearly, because they're fucking killing everyone. And
yeah, you know,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think this character, Papa Corn, is so over the top terrifying. You know, I'm going to make the comparison with Art the Clown, right?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Art the Clown doesn't speak.
Nope.
Everything he does is obviously scary, and mm-hmm. he portrays all of his enjoyment out of everything he's doing by just his facial expressions.
Yeah.
Papa Corn speaks. He taunts people as he's doing what he's doing. And I think that kind of adds to the effect of this all being so very fucked up, what he's doing, because he's audibly taunting people as he's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole gun scene in the convenience store, he's got a literal barrel of a gun in this woman's mouth. And he's talking shit the whole time, and she's just terrified.
Can you blame her?
I can't blame her, but I think the fact that he speaks is just, it sends that over the top. You know what I'm saying?
That's the haunting thing, is him speaking the whole time. And he doesn't do the whole clown, like, funny ha-ha thing. He's just very monotone, very matter of fact when he's talking to these people. He is intent, pure intent on what he's doing at that time with zero disregard.
Yeah, and like there's later on in the film, you know, we're pretty much at the end at this point because we're not going to spoil it all. But when he makes that comment to that woman and he says, it gets what it wants, and he's talking about his dick.
Yep.
He pulls his pants down and his dickhead is painted like a clown. Yeah. And then he starts running after this person.
And he starts trying to sexually assaulting this teenager, basically. And this is where Donald decides, okay, enough's enough. I've killed way too many people tonight, or I've been an accomplice to way too much tonight. So he decides he's going to actually shoot Popcorn. And I honestly thought this was going to be the end for him, because I'm thinking, like, he's not a superhuman. He's not like an entity or anything like that. He's a normal human being who is just psychotic. So I was thinking that Donald got the one up on him and actually shot and killed him. Didn't happen. As per any killer, gets back up, starts with his monologue about how you did it. You know, he's very happy that he actually shot him.
Yeah, because he's been egging him on the whole movie.
Yeah, he's been egging him on the whole entire movie. And at some point, he was just trying to get this guy to break, and he broke him. And like him getting shot is breaking him. And of course, the young teenager still gets fucking chainsawed anyways. Like, just down the middle. Brutal, man. And she's just being, like, rocked back and forth with this chainsaw. It's not going through all that well, clearly, because he has to, like, try to get the chainsaw out. The practical effects in this are great. Just seeing shit like that, I wonder how they even pull it off, because it looked like it was actually down the middle of a person.
Well.
Very well done.
We're going to find out.
Yeah, we'll find out soon enough.
That's a hint for everyone listening.
Yep. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
You will find out as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, obviously, my only gripes with this movie are really just, like, sexual assault stuff.
Yeah. No, I can see it. Honestly, that's my gripe with it as well. But I understand why it was done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to affect my score at all.
Yeah, I know it's not going to affect your score at all. So there was one thing that I think I would have done differently, because it would have been the final, like, mental fuck you at the end, where, like, Donald does all these things and Popcorn is like, you get to see your kids again. And you know what, Corey, we're a decade later. I think spoilers are out at this point, because...
Holy shit, you're right. 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. It's been 10 years. I think we're okay to say, all right, here's the ending, because if you didn't see it, I mean, that's on you. But in everyone else's defense is that this is a very under-the-radar movie. Obviously, would never be in theaters unless you had, like, a fucking massive following and budget like Terrifier did.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this movie fell under the radar. I'm sure you can watch it on Tubi or something like that. They have fucking everything. But this movie, like, at the end, Popcorn says to Donald, you get to see your daughters. You did everything we asked. You played the game. So he sees his daughters, bullet in the head of each of them, in the backseat of a car. Now, here's what I would have done differently, Corey. Because the scene ends up with the father killing himself as the cops are closing in. So he's getting blamed for this whole entire thing. What I would have done is the Mist ending. You know, like Stephen King's The Mist?
Yeah.
Where
Thomas
everyone,
Jane.
Yeah, exactly. Where he's left and like, he tries to shoot himself and he can't because no fucking bullets. And then like, you know, the cops or the army roll up. I would have done it like this. So the kids are dead. His wife is dead. He went through this whole traumatic experience. Cops are closing in. He goes to kill himself, shoot himself in the head, empty. The gun's empty. There's no bullets. And now he has to go to prison for the rest of his life. And he's probably going to actually go to the mental hospital because he's going to keep saying to the cops, the clowns did it. And they're going to be like, yeah, okay, buddy. The clowns did it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would have done it like that because now you're talking an even worse ending. It's a hopeless ending that he's never going to fucking come out of this because his whole world was just destroyed. And now he has to live with that for the rest of his life until he maybe tries to kill himself again. But I would have done that ending. The ending that happened, though, perfectly fine. I'm not taking anything away from it. I'm just saying what I would have probably done differently.
So even if, let's say they did go with your ending,
mm-hmm.
I could have led right into the sequel.
Exactly. Create a whole new transition where Donald, he's rehabilitated. After all this shit happened, somehow they let him out of prison or out of the mental hospital saying like he's cured. He's no longer a danger to the general public. Nothing like that. He's out. Now he goes and hunts down these clowns or the clowns do it. And well, he still hunts them down, but they find a new person and he's like constantly looking for him. He's mapping their locations or like where all these weird murders are happening. And he's like, this is where they're going to be. He just ultimately ends up hunting them. I think that could work for the sequel, but didn't happen that way. But it's fine. I'm sure Billy's going to think of something pretty awesome because Popcorn is amazing in this. I hope they get him again.
Oh, yeah, he's already confirmed.
Oh, is he already confirmed?
Yeah, it's Bill Oberst and David Howard Thornton. I don't know what role David Howard Thornton's going to have in the second film, but he's already confirmed to be in it.
That's fucking wild, man. It's fucking crazy. You know what? Maybe it's an Art the Clown cameo. Could you imagine?
That was... You know what? Art versus Popcorn, like a Freddy versus Jason.
Oh, yeah. Take my money. Fucking take my money. I would love that.
I just manifested it.
There we go. It's going to happen now. Hey, you never know, crossover? Shit. That would be really cool. That would actually be really big for Circus of the Dead because obviously we know how big Terrifier is. Terrifier is huge. It's a massive series at this point. So if Circus of the Dead can hop on that, that'll bring them probably close to that level. And bring a lot of eyes to it. But also, David Howard Thornton being announced for the sequel, that's definitely going to bring in some viewers as well. That's a damn near guarantee. I mean, shit, we all watched The Mean One.
Yeah, we did.
Because David Howard Thornton was in it. And would I say it was good? Not necessarily.
Yeah, I don't think either one of us were huge fans of that.
No, we weren't. I think we just did it because A, David Howard Thornton, and B, we're a horror movie review podcast. So we wanted something to review, and that was it. And we did it during the Christmas season, which makes sense. So I think that David Howard Thornton being in Circus of the Dead would be a really great thing for them. But with that said, Corey, what do you give Circus of the Dead?
I'm going to give this a 5 out of 5. This was a ton of fun. overly uncomfortable at times, which I did not dislike because, as I said before, I think I even said it this episode, I enjoy films that make me feel gross. I can't wait to see what the sequel for this is, as I know Billy Pond is going to push even more boundaries with it. And I'm sure they'll have a bigger budget.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a bigger budget, especially with their crowdfunding. And you know what? I wouldn't mind us posting about the crowdfund if it's still happening. You're more in tune with like that whole thing. So if it is, we'll fucking post it on our socials, bring awareness and be like, hey, people, donate to this fucking sequel because the first movie is nuts. It's crazy. So I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. I wouldn't say this movie was well-written because I think the main focus is clowns causing mass chaos, and they do their acts based on these tarot-looking cards that are drawn. I thought Bill Oberts Jr. as Popcorn was great, truly menacing, and there was an intensity to him that made his performance believable. Would I say this role is a stepping stone to bigger movies and leading him to more dramatic roles? Probably not, but it looks like he caught Rob Zombie's eye by being in Three from Hell, like I was mentioning before. By the way, Three from Hell is one of the few movies I turned off because of how much I wasn't liking it. And that's big, because I think the only other movie I know that I've actually turned off fucking midway, or even like a quarter of the way in, was Six String Samurai. I hated it.
I don't even know what that is.
Don't fucking worry about it. So it's a weird movie. I shut it off. Shit, I've watched Fried Green Tomatoes in full over this, or over fucking Three from Hell. So that's bad. But Circus is Dead obviously came out way before Rob Zombie's 31, but one's got to draw comparisons to that of Doomhead, which may have been a direct result of Popcorn due to the similarities. I'm wondering if Billy Bloody Bill Pond may have been influenced by Rob Zombie, and then Rob Zombie then took influence from the Popcorn character to make Doomhead. Doomhead, by the way, who's played by Richard Brake, who is also in Barbarian, which we were talking about earlier. He's amazing, and I love that fucking movie. If you're looking for a movie with all-out violence, then Circus of the Dead is definitely for you, but be warned, it's very violent and is a slew of instances of sexual assault. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit shiningwizardsnetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30screamsorless.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out beardoctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.